Relationship Podcast with Emily and Sarah. We're so happy you're here. This week, we decided to do a Q&A episode. So we asked some, on our Instagram, and then we asked
some close friends
and like people in person, like, you know, what is something that you're wondering about? What is it? Where do you need advice? And what are the any uncomfortable questions that you really may have that you're struggling with in a, like, generational, young life, kind of. And so that's what we're going to be doing today. So I have a whole lot
Switch things up a bit.
Yes, and actually, we're literally just, like, going off.
Yeah, like, we, honestly, I don't even remember. She read some of the questions, but honestly, it's going to be pretty random.
If you know Emily, I've read these questions to her yesterday. She has no idea what these questions are today.
So, short-term memory definitely
I'm
working
still
on
wondering
it.
What
long-term memory
she had earlier.
It's pretty good. I said short-term memory, working on it. Long-term memory, we're great.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you a dream I had 5 years ago. Like, literally, I just did. But cannot remember what I had for dinner last night.
Or the thought that you had.
Or the thought I had 30 seconds ago.
Like, I was, like, trying to help her
recover a thought. I said, oh, I have a thought after you finish this.
And it wasn't long. And I was, like, trying to help her. Like, has this been for a couple of days? Has it been marinating?
No
clue.
It just popped in my mind.
So,
I said, if the Holy Spirit wants me to have that thought, then
right.
I have a thought. And if it doesn't,
no, he is a strict. That thought.
It's gone. It's gone.
Okay.
Anyways, regroup.
Okay. So, I'm gonna. Oh, it's like kind of fun. Like,
okay.
How do I go about cleansing my soul?
Ooh, okay. There's a lot of different directions we could take this. Okay. The first thing that comes to mind, let me pull out the dictionary so I don't misquote it. So there's two things in the Bible. One's called a sila and one's called a sozo. Mean two different things. Hold on. Sila meaning coming to you hot. From Webster's dictionary. Sila is a word of uncertain origin found in the Psalms. So in the Psalms you see a lot, they say it's like, it says a script, and then basically Sila is like a pause and like rest in the presence of God. It means to like sit in the presence and it's to marinate on that verse, right? So it says it's found in the Psalms, likely a musical direction for a pause or interlude. And a name for a popular Christian group. Okay, never mind. Disregard the second half. So it's basically like a pause and to reminisce in the scripture that you just read, right? Sozo is a Greek word, means to save, deliver, rescue, and make whole. In a biblical context, it refers to the comprehensive work of Jesus Christ to provide salvation from sin, healing from physical and emotional wounds, and overall wholeness in a person's life. And then there's a little part that says on the bottom, sozo signifies deliverance from sin and spiritual death, a complete salvation offered through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's a great story. So, I think a spiritual cleansing really comes with just being honest with the Lord. I think it takes a certain aspect of bravery to face, like, the sins and the deep generational strongholds that maybe your family has faced for a long time. And I believe that, one, it takes braveness to even come to terms that, like, hey, this is a problem, this needs to be fixed, and acknowledging that you need a spiritual cleanse. Second of all, I think it is the Lord's way of calling us deeper into this beautiful relationship we have with him, be like, hey, this was okay in past seasons. However, I'm calling you deeper. I'm calling you closer to me. So this is not okay in this season. And I'm asking you to give this up to be closer to me. And that's where the laying of self, the dying of self comes. I think it's just the Lord's invitation to pull us closer to him on this side of eternity. Thirdly, I believe a spiritual cleansing can... I believe the Lord can really cleanse us in the secret place, but I believe that there's power in confession, there's power in acknowledgement, there's power in community, and I know we've spoke on this a lot in the past, but I believe that healing comes through through confession, and I believe it comes when we speak it out loud, and when, I mean, we've seen this literally firsthand, and I believe there's power in just, like, shining light on it. So, just to regroup, just three little bullet points. Sozo, Sila, I believe that there, when we read the scripture, first of all, the scripture will be your absolute compass when you are going or trying to pursue a spiritual cleanse. Now, when I... Sidebar, when I think of a spiritual cleanse, I am a very, like, picture literal person. Like, I literally think of, like, your soul is getting, like, a bath, like, literally cleansing everything, and you're, like, just getting rinsed by the Holy Spirit. And so when I think of that, I'm like, okay, what factors, what is the soap that is cleaning the soul? Mm-hmm. Short answer, Jesus. The more complicated answer is the three bullet points that I just gave. It's like Sila, to rest in his presence, to be present in his presence, to seek healing, deep healing, and deliverance from the things that maybe the Lord allowed you to walk through in one season, but he's calling you deeper in this season. So he's like, hey, what was okay in the past is not okay now. It's time to come deeper. We've been at knee length in the water. Now it's time to come up to the shoulders and dip our head. And it's healthy to pursue community when you are healing. Because I feel we don't always heal alone, but we heal in numbers.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah,
that's my take on spiritual.
Yeah.
Very short and succinct.
100%. To add on to that, you mentioned briefly... daily dying is not an option. I think to cleanse our soul, I think of it as like a consistent denial of our own desires, thoughts, our actions, and, you know, the things that we once indulged in before Christ. I think allowing the Lord, which is very hard, but as we are dying, we are allowing the Lord to, like, sink that old person down deeper and deeper and deeper, whereas the Lord's able to fill our cup rather than ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I think the more that our, I like how you describe, like, our soul is, like, getting a bath. Think of it as, like a cup and, like, was once filled, like, almost looks like the color of, like, Coke, like, dark. Can't see through it.
Yeah. Not transparent.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
And the more that we're pouring water, aka Jesus Bible, it's getting clearer and clearer and clearer, and the Coke is only forced to come out. And so I think when we are devoting ourselves to the Lord, we're changing our music, we're changing what we watch, we're changing our friends. We are
consumption of everything.
Right. We are spending time with the Lord. You have to think of the Lord as like almost like going on a date, mm-hmm. oddly enough, because what do you do to get to know someone? You have to go and spend time with them, hang out with them.
Yeah.
You
conversate with them.
Right.
And shut your mouth.
There's communication.
And listen to them. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so as we're It's like an Pastor Philip Anthony Mitchell said that to deal aggressively with sin is to love God more, because we naturally we don't want to keep hurting someone we love. So
wow,
I think loving God more than our own self, our desires, our thoughts, things that we are genuinely like, it's killing us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I'm, and by loving God more, I'm spending time with Him. I am surrounding myself with people
that love Him
first.
Jesus.
Yeah. I'm challenged in my faith.
Yeah.
I'm talking to leaders. I'm getting in the secret place. Like, I, you know, it does, it's not stuff that's seen almost. It's like where I'm allowing the Lord to just transform me through and through. And I think the closer, I know for me, the closer I've gotten to Jesus, the more that I'm like, the more the temptation becomes less, like the world becomes less attractive to me.
Yeah, the temptation of the old flesh that died,
right,
becomes like completely unappealing.
Yeah.
I want, when you said Jesus' word, immediately when you said that, I thought John 1:1. And it says,
uh-huh,
in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. It's literally, like, in the spirit, I imagine the Bible, like, when you look at someone in the physical, you see their chest rise and fall. In the spirit, I see the Bible the same way. Like, it is literally like,
good stuff.
It's breathing. It's living and breathing. It's living and breathing. Like, this is palpable life.
Yeah.
And when people treat this as just a shelf decor, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. But at the same time, it's a choice to let it change you.
Mm-hmm.
So also to add on, because being backed by the Bible is a beautiful thing. Well, what you say and being back with the Bible is a beautiful thing. I also want to say, in your consumption of things, so one more note and we'll go on to the next question. But say you feel like you've gone through a spiritual cleansing, you feel very close to the Lord, say you just go to a conference or you have like a revival weekend at your church and you feel so on fire with the Lord and the anointing is strong and you're just like, Jesus, 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 that is all hunky and dory. What happens behind closed doors when the anointing lifts? What happens when the hype dies down, the room grows still and quiet, and it's just you and Jesus and your phone? Which one will you choose? And I believe that the dying of the flesh is required, because the flesh and the spirit are always at war, and Jesus is... There's a verse in the Bible that says, and I really wish I knew what it was right off the top of my head, but I don't, to be honest. It's basically saying that the Lord will never tempt you with something great enough to where He doesn't offer a way out of that temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that temptation of the flesh is a real thing. Well, it is. There's no doubt about it. And He will it may be a fight, but He will always offer an avenue of freedom parallel to that choice. Like, there are two choices that we can take. But the verse I wanted to highlight in Matthew was that the eyes are the lamp to the soul.
Yep.
Where is it?
That's Matthew 6.
Am I reading? Yeah, Matthew 6. The lamp of the body. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Scrolling is a dangerous thing, because your eyes are seeing so much crap, you're just drinking it all in. Like, it's a big concoction and you are just gulping it. And it's like, even if it's 2 seconds of a 60-second video, it's still exposure. So I think cognizance of what we consume, whether that be social media, whether that be the words of those around us, like gossip, or that be music. Like, if you just turn on the radio just to have background sound, be careful. Be careful. Because the enemy is like a prowling lion, always looking to whom he may devour. And the moment that we let up our guard, who's knocking?
Right.
So be cognizant of what you consume. If you feel like you're relapsing in something you once felt clean of, try ask the Holy Spirit, hey, highlight to me where there's an open door, and then ask the Holy, and invite someone into that journey, and then ask the Holy Spirit to close that door, lock it shut, and to regain freedom where there once was. Yeah. Alrighty. My turn to ask the question. Let me see.
Oh, yeah.
I'll ask you.
Oh, pass it.
Pass it the phone. And I know you know all these questions.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Speaking of social media, how do you stay rooted in your faith with social media?
Yes. I think being so intentional with everything that we post, we say, and I'm not perfect in this, and honestly, I've been in a social media break for like 9 months, up until recently, and obviously with the podcast and everything,
yeah,
like there was like,
you gotta be realistic.
Yeah. But my goal was to do a whole year. And so, honestly, I think, like, first of all, finding my authentic self and not finding that through social media and other people that I see. And so it's, like, forcing myself to literally, like, be apart from it for a while has, like, taught me so much about myself and, like, who I want to be online. And that's, like, truly authentically myself, who the Lord wants me to be, how he sees me. And I feel like this podcast is a huge thing because it's, like, this is how I would want to be seen on social media. And that's just the honest truth. And if, like, I were to use my social media for anything, it would be to share Jesus and to be an example and to just spread. Because, obviously, it's, like, it's such a huge thing now. Everyone's on it, and it's almost like, obviously, the Lord has given us like a platform to reach those that are on social media that do need that
ministry.
Pulling. And so, I think it would honestly just be like truly being myself and then using it for the glory of the Lord. I think that would literally be it. Because I would want that in any aspect of my life. And whether it was the gym, whether it was when I fed my body, whether it was work, whether it was, like, how I, you know, acted around friends and community, all for the glory of the Lord. And I think that adding social media into that same, like, intentional aspect or whatever, being intentional in the same way with social media is freeing. I think that I think a big thing on social media now is just, like, it's this, like, I feel like the spirit of performance and striving thrives on social media, and it kind of blinds us to seeing, like, how does the Lord see me? Like, it's kind of made me care less of, like, how people view me. To be honest.
Yeah.
And I think that's just being away from it, seeing what it's like to be away from it, and then coming back and my heart is purified in that area. Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So I think just like my direction of it has changed.
Yeah.
Since being away from it, and also just getting closer to the Lord.
Yeah. We're continually growing.
Yeah.
I think the beginning of the year was really great because just stepping away from social media just realizes how much you miss in life. How much is going around you. Like, you look at your screen times, like 4 hours, 5 hours. It's like, what could I have done
in that amount of time.
With 4 hours, yeah. You know? So, it's crazy.
Yeah.
That was really good, though. Okay, girl.
Oh, this one's good.
Okay.
Hold on. I did not word this right.
Oh.
So, how do we, like, how would we guide maybe even a complete stranger who is an unbeliever to Christ?
Mm. Ooh. Okay. First thing that pops into my mind is there is no condemnation in those who love Christ Jesus. And I am drawing a blank as to, I know it's in the New Testament, and I can see it in my Bible where it's highlighted. Knowing me, I probably won't find it. Anyways. So, okay. Right off the bat, be completely led by the Holy Spirit.
I was gonna say that.
If
yes,
you
so
are led by right. feelings and the compassion of your human heart, you'll
yeah.
never win them. First of all, you'll never win them regardless because it's not you who saves them, it's Jesus. And all Jesus wants is your obedience to plant the seed. He's going to water it. That being said, the phrase, and I'm not coming against whoever asked that question, but the phrase leading someone to Jesus, that's our job. We lead them to, and He provides the salvation. But at that end of the day, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to go into their heart, create a work, create that conviction, which is completely different from condemnation. That's why I feel like the Holy Spirit highlighted the verse, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because once you enter into the work of salvation and the faith of believing who He is as your Lord and Savior, He enters into your heart and there's this newfound freedom. Because that condemnation lifts. That the enemy only brings condemnation. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So there is a distinct and marked difference of the freedom of the conviction of the Holy. Now, the conviction of the Holy Spirit makes you feel like crap at first.
Oh.
Because He's awful. Calling out your humanness and what you've been in for so long, whatever that may be, even if it's just the world and not following Christ. However, when He calls us, when you highlight, okay, say I go to, the Holy Spirit highlights a random stranger on the side of the road. I feel led to them for some reason, spark a conversation. Hey, I feel like the Lord highlighted me to you to me. I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you, maybe give prophetic word, yada, 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 whatever it may be. And then I feel the Holy Spirit to draw, like, hey, do you know the Lord? Have you ever accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? And they decide to go through that prayer. That's beautiful. They accept Jesus. Amazing. All of heaven is rejoicing in that moment. Beautiful. Absolutely breathtaking. However, you cannot carry the guilt as a Christian, as a believer, like, oh my gosh, what if they turn back from that prayer and just go right into the lifestyle? Like, does that fall on me? You were obedient and planting that seed. Like I said, it is the Holy Spirit's job to water that regardless of which way they go.
We are not the Holy Spirit.
We are not the Holy Spirit. We never will be. And Lord forbid, I never want to be because I'd be a terrible Holy Spirit.
Oh
my gosh, this world would be in flames. And
we're all burned up a little
bit. Long time ago. And it is not, that's the only thing I can highlight. It is the Lord wants your obedience. He wants your yes to go to the nations. He wants your submission to Him as a father and as a follower, as a disciple of Christ. It is our mission to go, to be the salt, to be the light in the dark places of this world. However, it is not our job to provide salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to quick point, coming off of everything you said, Because one of the things I was going to say was, we are not the Holy Spirit. And to draw the fat line between simply being obedient to the Lord, obedient to the Holy Spirit, and then being the Holy Spirit. So let's draw that line where I am going to go out and I'm going to, like, people are called to the streets. I mean, like, yeah. we are all called as believers to compel those to come in and to preach and proclaim the good news and the goodness of Jesus and all of these things so that the kingdom may be filled. But I will say that I read this book recently. It was called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And this certain chapter, I'll never forget when I read this, my jaw literally hit the floor, came back up, hit the floor again. Literally, he said, I think he was quoting another book in the book, but he said, say 100 believers, you have 100 believers, one believer's reading the Bible, believer's reading the Bible out of that 100, and the 199 is reading the Christian.
Mm.
So I think when we are, when we are amongst, you know, your workplace, church, your friend group, your family even, like, when we are positioning ourselves as believers of Christ and as sons and daughters, we are creating this atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is able to, like, move in on those who are lost and who need Jesus, simply because we are being obedient in fruit, we're being obedient in our responses, we're being slow to speak and quick to listen, we are being nurturers, we're with the Lord. And so when we're with the Lord and we are, like, filling up, kind of like what that verse you were looking for, Matthew 6,
mm-hmm.
The eyes are the lamp of the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what we are feeding ourselves and fueling ourselves, and that being the word in this example, that is automatically going to, like, reflect. It's going
yes.
to reflect. And it's not going to look like us. If there's something different, it's not going to look like us. And so even an unbeliever recognizing, like, there's something different here, and, like, I'm kind of hungry for it. Like, where does this person get this from? Where does this person get this joy and this peace and this love for people that are hard to love? And if they're okay, they have peace that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it stirs a hunger.
I think it stirs a hunger, too. And I think it poses the question of, it poses a curiosity in the unbeliever, like you said.
Yeah.
Like, it makes them, and I believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Because they're like, why are they different? Because, I mean, our human nature is curiosity.
It doesn't look, yeah.
Yeah. But I think, too, Jesus, he walks with us in that because there are people that are really hard to love. If it weren't for the grace of Jesus, there are people that you just, it's hard to be around. And I'm just going to say it like it is. But one thing that's really helped me in my journey of loving people who are hard to love. Now, granted, this has also been a dangerous prayer for me because the Lord has answered it in full. But the prayer was, Lord, help me see them like you see them. And the Lord will walk you through this journey of completely reclaiming your perspective for His. And it will just do a complete 180 almost.
Mm-hmm.
He will take you into places of restoration and that you didn't even know you needed restoration in just by praying that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask, I believe when the Lord planted that, because I believe the Lord draws us and challenges us in different things, to pray different things. And there are things that can be prayed out of emotion. I really believe, like, my dad always highlighted this, like, now take this with a grain of salt. My dad always highlighted in the church people, emotions and the anointing and the spirit is very hype in the church. Music's loud, the drums are going, and you were just hyped, like nothing could go wrong. If a line walked in, we're like casting a line at like radical faith. But when you walk out those doors, get in your car, it's a whole different situation. But he highlighted that a lot of times we pray these communal prayers in the church, like someone will go up on the stage and be like, repeat after me. Pause. Did the Holy Spirit give you the green light to pray that prayer, or are you just praying it as a parrot? You know what I mean? And what you prayed that prayer, it was a declaration from your tongue, so you spoke it into the atmosphere, therefore it has power. But how many prayers have we prayed in the church out of hype and not out of pure conviction led by the Holy Spirit? That's why whenever someone, now like I said, take this with a grain of salt, seek it out with the Holy Spirit. When someone goes up on the platform to pray and they say, repeat after me, I have a quick second of pause and I do not immediately start mimicking their words. Because they're, what if they say something that is not aligned inside of me with the Holy Spirit inside of me, my lips are sealed.
Yeah.
My lips are sealed. Because I do not want to walk down a path that I unknowingly allowed for myself when I prayed that prayer. Now, some of that may go over some people's heads because they haven't experienced that yet. That's fine. Like I said, invite the Holy Spirit into that journey with you. But I just wanted to shed light on being cautious of what we follow behind hype and what we follow behind the conviction and the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. One more thought on my end, and we'll wrap up. It's crazy because literally what, like, gripped me and captivated me and like pulled me to Jesus in the very first place was a stranger literally being completely obedient to the Holy Spirit to talk to me. And from that moment, my life has literally been flipped completely. I mean, it's flipped completely.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like, if I have experienced the love of Jesus in that way, why wouldn't I love that for other people?
Exactly. And I ask myself, which is really stung in the past, adding on to that, people that I ignored, that I felt like the Holy Spirit was calling out, mm-hmm. and I didn't have the faith and the boldness to go and either share the gospel or share a word of encouragement for, I have felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Like, do you not love them enough? Do you not?
Oh yeah.
Do you not want to share that I died for them? And I've had to like repent before the Lord and say like I'm sorry because I chose my selfishness over obedience, and that is something I had to walk out with the Lord and just asking for forgiveness and repentance. But I think about when I stand before the Lord, I believe there's a certain aspect of grace in our human ignorance, but I also believe there's a choice that we have to make between marked obedience and disobedience, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Are we asking another question?
We could do, you want to do one more?
Let's do one more and close the curtains.
Close the curtain.
Exit stage left.
Dramatic.
Ooh, okay. Okay. How to go about navigating the unknown.
Okay.
There's a lot we could do.
And when this question was asked, it was more about, like, how to navigate the secrets of God.
Okay.
And, like, the mysteries of
God.
Okay,
so this was asked in person. Okay.
So, how do we, I've always been the type to, like, be really careful in conspiracies, because I think it really can become its own religion. I think it can be something that's worshipped, idolized. I think that it can be a huge distraction from what we do know about Jesus. I think that, one, I want to be so real and honest. I believe that what the Lord intentionally meant to reveal is here. And I think that there has to be this level, not saying that the Lord can't reveal things. Not saying that. I'm saying, though, that on the, maybe like a new believer, like the base of it is so profound, and that's basically what we know here. And I don't, and I truly believe that, like, although I don't think we understand, I don't think there's a human walking this earth that truly understands the depth of this book.
There never will be.
No. And so I think that we, one, there needs to be a humility here. I think one is, like, understanding that our minds can, one, only go so far. When Jesus said, when he was about to die, he was telling his disciples, I'm going to send you a helper, an advocate, knowing, because we cannot walk this by ourselves. We can't walk through the mysteries. We can't even read this without him. We can't comprehend the wisdom of God without the Holy Spirit. And so I think understanding that we, as humans, are so below holy, so far down, like, below that, like, we're not even close to it. I think there needs to be a level of, like, humility and acceptance.
Yeah.
And, like, understanding that I'm not going to understand everything. Even if I get to heaven, I might not know everything. And that's completely
okay.
That's okay. Because, honestly, I'm so okay with what I do know.
I think it would, I think my brain would implode. Quite literally.
Like, bust out the seams.
Bust brain matter everywhere.
Splatter.
Because even, it's not even the books that are, like, popularly quoted. It's when you get into the nitty gritty of, like, Revelation.
Jeez.
And the dimensions. Even in the New Testament. Okay, I'm guilty of resorting to the Old Testament because it's easier for my mind to digest.
New Testament?
No, Old Testament. Sorry.
No.
So, Old Testament. Old Testament. I am more prone to lean towards the Old Testament versus the New Testament.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you messed up on that.
No. I am more prone to the Old Testament.
I'm the other way around.
Really?
But I've been challenging myself recently.
I'm trying to in the reverse.
But I'm actually, like, understanding it. That's a whole other thing, though. I'm finally challenging myself to be in the Old Testament, though.
Wait. Wait. Cut the cameras. I most definitely did that backwards.
See, guys, this is what I'm saying. And, like, no one hears me, I feel like. Because I was like, Emily, no, you don't.
Oh, wait, gosh.
So you did mean you leaned towards the New Testament. We had this conversation before.
Okay, for some reason, in my mind, flip. I did.
That's okay.
It's okay. Okay. Anyways, resume.
Breathe, regroup.
So, Matthew through Revelation, I'm more prone to read. Genesis.
See, I knew I was not.
Genesis up to Matthew, not as prone. The reason being, now, I will resort to, like Malachi, Esther, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. I will resort to some. Yes, I'm a horrible Christian, call me out, whatever. However, I have felt...
Don't call her out, because that's not even...
No, call me out. I have felt the Lord be like, okay, my word is the whole word and not the half word. Why are you only choosing to pursue part of it? The Lord clocked me. And I really feel that we should pursue the whole Bible as if it were a man, because it is a man, and it is a person, it is a holy person. Pursue the Lord, like pursue the Bible like we pursue the Lord. We don't pursue the Lord just for part of who he is or what he can give to us. We pursue the Lord in his wholeness and in his glory. I kind of forgot where I was going before. This is example A, guys. Anyways, it kind of just floated off. My brain is jumbled. I don't know where I was going before that. Can we get it
pursue
back?
Pursue the Old Testament as one man. Don't pursue just half of it.
Yeah, it's gone.
Okay. Hey, he didn't watch you say.
He didn't watch me say, and that's fine. That's fine. Anyways, what were we saying before that? Like, before I had the whole connection between
being humble, and I think that we should, instead of hype up and wonder and ponder the things that the Lord didn't reveal, we should get deeper in the things that the Lord did reveal.
I know what it is. The complexities of even the Old Testament, when they describe the dimensions, like for instance, Noah's Ark, or the dimensions and all the laws, the old covenant laws before Jesus died and created the new covenant, all of the things that they had to do, all of the religious
offerings.
Sacraments and the offerings, and the way that they had to wear certain robes and adornments, and they couldn't do this in this season of the year, or this animal was unclean to this people group, and such and such and such. And there were so many legalities. And when Jesus died on the cross, it canceled it all because he said, I am the Savior of the world. I'm the innocent lamb that was slain. That cancels out the religion.
Yeah.
Now, not saying that the Old Testament didn't have the power of the Christ, saying that he created an entire new covenant, an entire new rule book for us to live by. And he said, I call you mine. And then obviously he gave us principles like Paul and the disciples and John, and they laid out these things that we should live by, and the letters to the church calling us out on the lifestyles that we should abide by. But it's different. It's like a marked difference. But thank God we don't live in the Old Testament. Anyways, just to close on that note, we cannot navigate any part of who the Christ is, who the bride is, without holding his hand in it. And if you believe that you can walk it alone or try to navigate it alone, you will miserably fail because it doesn't say in our strength he is strong. It says in our weakness he is strong. Mm-hmm. So we have to accept that in our human weakness we need a Savior, and that is the first step of salvation. And receiving the Lord in Christ, acknowledging that you need God. And without him, you are chaff. You're dust on this earth, trampled by foot, worthless. You're nothing without God. First of all, you need to swallow that pill. Second of all, receive the message that he is your Savior. He is your redemption. He is Yeshua. He's Adonai. Like, he's everything. He is the Son, S-O-N. And he brings light. Like in heaven it talks about, in the book of Revelation it talks about that in heaven we won't have a sun because he is the light. He is. And I just love how in our English language we just switch one letter when God really knew.
No.
God really knew what he was doing. Anyways, I was going off on a tangent. Yeah. This was fun. I like this. I think we should do more. It was a good little break. Seriousness, even though we definitely brought some meat to this word.
I really like that, just being able to address things that really sit on people.
Yeah. And if we don't put a question box explicitly on our story, you can DM us, you can drop in the comments below, hey, I would love to hear more about this, daily life. It doesn't just have to, it can just be real. We are real human beings on this journey, being led by the Holy Spirit. But it can be in direct message. It can be in the comments of YouTube. We provide our email, comments, questions, all of the above.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're just going to close out in prayer. And, just bless you guys.
Yeah. So, we just say, Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this space. You are welcome to work. We invite you to work and do a work in our hearts. We just invite you to highlight anything that is drawing us away from you. Any lesser lover, God, I pray that you would highlight anything that is pulling us away from the heart of God, and you would cut it off at the root. I pray that you would just draw us nearer. You would allow us to lay our head on your chest and to heal, to hear, and to feel your heartbeat. I pray that we would acknowledge the reality of your heartbeat every day. I pray that we would feel your love as we do the mundane things of life, as we drive to work, as we do the dishes, as we do laundry. God, I pray that we would feel your presence in the mundane, because you are so real and so tangible. So God, I invite you into every crack and corner, crevice of my life. I pray that you would use me and Sarah as a vessel continually to share your gospel. I pray that this word spoken today would plant seeds that you would continue to water and convict. I pray that you would move on the hearts of the people that watch this video, and that you would show them how beautiful and how loving and kind of a father you are. We say welcome, we say have your way, and we say have the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bye. We love you. See you next week.